When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hi everyone, I want to tell you about something new Girl Powerful is a part of that we are very excited about. MentorCam is an app that connects people like our listeners to well-known experts like us for personalized one-on-one advice and mentorship. It's so cool because scrolling the app, you will find experts on a variety of topics related to self-discovery, career development, dating and relationships, health and wellness, who you can connect and engage with in a private conversation through video messages.
We are mentors on the app because we think it is so important as positive community members to be available to help people with their emotional health. Everyone listening should go check out MentorCam. Download in the App Store and use promo code GIRL, G-I-R-L, for $10 off your first question. Enjoy this episode with Sierra. It rocks.
Welcome to the Girl Powerful Podcast.
We're two sisters on a mission to entertain
and educate by learning from women who live a purpose-driven life.
Be sure to subscribe and rate our podcast. On today's episode of the Girl Powerful Podcast, we talk with Sierra Miller. She's from Bravo Summer House, and she's also an RN and model. We talk with her about relationships in the house, and how she needed to take a break from being a nurse during COVID-19. Sierra is grounded, honest, and one of a kind, and this episode gave her the opportunity to share her side of the story. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Girl Powerful Podcast. I'm Teddy. This is my sister, Sonia.
Hello.
And then we have Sierra Miller here from Bravo Summer House, and we're so excited to have you. Thank you so much for your time, Sierra.
Yeah, absolutely, of course.
Yeah, we were really kind of just, because a lot of people maybe don't know in our community what Bravo Summer House is. How would you describe what that show is to just the blind eye?
So honestly, just a bunch of crazy people in their like 20s and 30s who like come together in the summertime to live together. This year, we all quarantined together in the same house for like 6.5 weeks or so. And yeah, we just tried not to kill each other.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I loved you on this season because I think you're a breath of fresh air.
Oh,
and I felt like you added, I know it's a party show, but you added so much depth to it. It's like anytime you were like, nope, I'm putting up a boundary, or nope, I'm walking away from this craziness, I was like, go, Sierra.
Yeah.
And let's find better guys in the house for Sierra to date.
Yeah. True.
I agree.
Yeah. One of the things that was kind of a rough part of the season to watch, just like as a fan, was when one of your cast members, Carl Radke, lost his brother. And you offered support and saying, like, I've dealt with loss because of your work in the COVID unit as a RN before the show. Could you talk a little more about that and, like, some tools you've used and seen with patients on how to deal with loss?
I mean, man, the morning that happened, it was, like, super traumatic because it definitely came out of the blue. And I felt like a couple days before we were just talking about his brother. But, I mean, I feel like I never really know what to say to people. Honestly, my biggest thing that I try to offer to people is like a listening ear, because there's nothing that I could ever say or do that would bring that person back. And at the end of the day, they do still have to deal with like the reality of this death. So I feel like it's so much better to be in the present and figure out how you, and not immediately, but how you can move forward and how like this person's life was a blessing and a lesson, and how, you know, you can kind of take from them and learn from, you know, this tragedy. And like with Carl, he really got to, like, he always said he didn't want to be like his brother, but he ended up being like him. And I just was like, you know, unfortunately, this is tragic, but there's so much you can learn from this. And what a great gift, you know, even though it is hard and he's not here with you in the physical world, like, but he's no longer suffering and he's no longer in pain. I just feel like there's so much peace in that. And I feel like a lot of times I get to see people, I mean, like, I get to be a part of saving lives, but I also get to be a part of, like, the aspect where, like, I don't feel like I'm saving a life. I'm kind of, like, prolonging the inevitable. And that hurts because I'm, like, we talk about death and we talk about heaven sometimes if you're, like, religious or have your faith or whatever. But, like, sometimes we talk about heaven and, like, how amazing heaven will be. Well, why do we always try to withhold people in the, like, from getting there? And we are, sometimes I feel like I always say I interfere with God's plan, but you know, it's.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, the last year was hard. Like COVID-19 hurt, like obviously physically, we lost a lot of people in our community, but then you, like a huge, huge like light was shown on mental health. And like, since we work with teens and a lot of their lives were taken away from them in the way, like their social lives, like they weren't allowed to play sports. They weren't allowed to be social. They weren't allowed to go to dances. They weren't allowed to go to school where their teacher might be the one person that actually sees them, and their home life, you know, is toxic. So we saw a lot of isolation and loneliness and depression. Did you see like an influx, like in the hospital, of seeing teenagers? Like, I know you were working with COVID patients, but did you hear anything from like the other parts of the hospital about,
it's tough because like in the ICU, because we have the sickest of the sick patients, my patient population that I was typically dealing with would it be anywhere from like your late 20s to your geriatrics, which is like 80s, 90s and up. But like, you do see like the mental toll that it takes on people because they weren't allowed to have their families in the ICU. They weren't allowed to have any visitors at all. So it's really like we healthcare providers kind of had to step in and play the role of like the family member or the wife or the sister who's like holding your hand and like stuff that like we typically do, but not in that capacity and not that much typically, because you can have your family members in the ICU, and really we were only letting them in for honestly end of death and or prior to surgeries. And like, even that was a huge risk. And it even was like hard for nurses to really even be in the room with these people for so long, because it's like, then we're increasing our exposure time, you know? So.
Yeah. That reminds me, because we had our mom's best friend was in the hospital and no one was allowed to go see her. So my mom, you know, they'd all go wave at the window and everything. Right. But my whole background's in communication. And we have a very similar upbringing, like the whenever you opened up on Summer House and shared about your dad, you know, I was like really felt for you and resonated with how you were feeling because we have that same situation.
Yeah.
I'm curious about being a nurse, how you handled your own mental health, because you did have so much pressure from the news. You're starting this new show. You're like have extra expectations at work from patients because it's like you're compassionate if you're a nurse. Yeah. So I can only imagine if I could tell a patient was extra lonely, like I would want to like fill that void for them.
It was hard. Like you do want to be in the room for that with them, but it's like, at the same time, I also have, there's two of you that I'm taking care of. Like I have to divide my time equally. And then it's like, I still actually have to take my lunch. And then like, there's still like a million other different tasks that I need to complete aside from like talking to doctors and like trying to figure out, you know, like health plans and whatnot. But it was definitely tough. Like the summertime was definitely a time for me to like step back and take a break from it. And I did realize just how much I did miss it, but I feel like I always talk about this, like with nurses, like when you leave the hospital and I sit in silence for honestly the night, until like the next day. Like I don't come home and turn on my TV because it's just like extra noise and stimulus. So I really take a lot of quiet time. I feel like I need like that quiet time. My bed has also become like a safe haven, which it can be kind of dangerous because I'm like teeter tottering between like, because I know like my anxiety turns into like physical exhaustion, which turns into like I'm gonna sleep. So it's just like finding that healthy balance of like, okay, I'm gonna get out and go on a walk. I'm gonna go do something that I enjoy, like hiking, and like being outdoors is really like what I love to do and an escape to, like when I'm not at the hospital.
Yeah, definitely. We love nature. I think it's the best healing tool. It's a prevention tool at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, like, how did you get on the show? Like, you have this full-blown career as a nurse. Like, where did this come from? Yeah. It's like, so, like, out of nowhere.
Yeah, so I had been friends with Luke for a few years prior to the show. I've known Luke before he was even on the season two. And we've had our, like, relationships. And then I was in, like, Texas, and he's like, hey, like, do you think that, like, would you want to go to the Hamptons this summer? And I was like, oh, you know, like, I need to figure out what I'm doing with work, but, like, sure. Regardless, I get to take a break, which will be amazing. And I'm like, please pick me.
Yeah. Pick me.
Yeah. So I was like, yes, I actually really want to do this. And then I ended up taking a travel assignment in New York, and I ended up in New York anyway. And I was like, it's just kind of, like, all aligned, you know? Yeah.
I love that. I mean, what have you felt like being the Black girl on Summer House? I mean, it's a very white show.
Yeah.
Very white.
We've been to the Hamptons before, and I'm like, whoa.
I don't even want to go to the Hamptons. I've never been, but it's like, I don't know if I feel like I fit in there.
Yeah, I was super apprehensive about it. It was definitely like, I had these conversations before with my friends. I'm like, I know that I'm the only Black girl coming into this, and like, I knew that it would feel like there would be a lot of pressure on me, but our producer, showrunner Ian, he was like, honestly, come in and like be you and be the best you that you can be. And like, that's all that you can do. And he was like, don't even put those types of pressures on yourself, which I was like, okay. But it was kind of like a culture shock coming in because I'm like, we're also going through a civil rights movement, the biggest rights movement ever. And, you know, like, obviously, like, the presidential election, too. Like, I was like, are we going to have the same, I'm not expecting to have the same views, but it was like, am I going to have the same views as these people? Are these going to be, like, are we going to be open to different viewpoints? Are people going to come in and just be completely shut off to, like, my perspective and my point of view? Or, like, how is it going to go? But,
yeah, did you guys ever talk about that? I know, like, the show doesn't really get into those deeper conversations, but off camera or even on, and they just don't air it. Did you get into that? Like, were there people in the house that totally don't think the same way as you? And how do you coexist with someone?
Because for 6 weeks.
For six weeks, you're like, you don't value me?
We did have some really amazing and eye-opening conversations. And it was like so refreshing to hear and to like know that they like they could empathize with me. And they knew like at the time, like it was super heavy on me. And honestly, like Hannah and Amanda are two people that I probably had the most conversations with. And they just like they did such a good job of like listening and empathizing. And like Amanda will cry with me like over anything really. But like they were such important factors and like in me being in the house, they feel like they really did help me, you know, navigate the waters in terms of like just being able to talk to somebody about it. Cause like I wasn't with my like normal friend group, you know, like they really did a good job. And then we would sit down at dinner sometimes and have like a family discussion of it all. And we ended up having a lot of the same viewpoints and just like, we were all still trying to like wrap our brains around how someone could even think, you know, a certain way. But then we also had discussions about how it came to be and how the
and the concept of you guys being there during a pandemic, you're like so in the nucleus of like the whole thing. Like, it was a lot probably to handle. Yeah. And I feel like even like as watching as like a fan, the show like had a totally different tone this season.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't as high vibey party, obviously.
It was real world.
It was more real. Yeah.
And like, you could even see like Hannah and Kyle were fighting about like real world stuff that kind of like stuff that went on, but like we were all kind of, it was tough. And I feel like people don't even understand like the intensity of like filming for that long. And please know that like we couldn't go anywhere. Like we had strict COVID guidelines that we had to go by and like testing. And like if anybody got COVID, like we would be shut down. So like we obviously wanted to give everyone like, you know, a great show, but it was also like we're trapped in this house and like we can't go anywhere. Like we could have like certain people like run our errands for us, like production, which they were amazing, but like we couldn't leave. We couldn't really see anybody.
Yeah, Luke was like starting fires in the backyard and chopping wood. That's because he had to like bring his element to the house.
Yeah, like we were all just trying to like find shit to do. That's why we had so many Amazon packages.
Yeah, I mean, I everyone's guilty of the Amazon.
Yeah, definitely.
No, but that brings me back to like the biggest lesson we found with the girls is we are listening more and talking less. So just like you said, you had like support in the house. It's like people just need to be there for each other right now to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because everyone's just going through so many different feelings and emotions.
Yeah. Entering like a new friend group. How did you decide? Like, I love that that showrunner said, like, just be yourself and truly meant it. And that was really a cool way to like have a foundation of feeling like supported by the team. But how did you enter the house and like, how did you set up boundaries with these people of how you would accept being treated from the men and the women?
I don't even know if I even went into it thinking like, you know, this is how I'm going to go about it. I feel like it's kind of just like, I mean, people treat you the way you allow them. So, I mean, like, not that I had any like negative interactions initially, I just think they kind of know, like, I don't necessarily fuck around. Like, my mom says I'm like a straight shooter and like, that's, yeah. I've always been that way. So like, you know, I would
have to give myself rules.
Yeah.
I'd be like, no tequila shots.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there would be times where I'm like, the drinking was kind of like, whoa, like these people know how to drink. Yeah. And like, I'm like a two drink type of girl, like, you know, cheap date, not like I can't drink like 5 and 10 drinks. I'd be completely and utterly obliterated, but like
on national television.
Yeah. On national television. So, like, a few drinks. So like pacing myself, but I was like, okay, I know I cut myself off. Like, and I also get the spins, which is very easy for me to be like, I want to go tonight.
Who is someone that you feel like on and off the screen is the most genuine after you? You're a straight shooter, you're a nurse. Like, I feel like that you're like a
grounded
person that's truthful and real. And that's why people want to watch more of that, I think.
I probably would say, Amanda, like, she just is like so damn pure and just like she really does have a good heart and she really does like she loves hard. She loves insanely hard.
Yeah, that's such a good compliment. When she hears that, she'll be like, oh. I would love someone to pick me out of a lineup, you know?
Yeah, I tell her this all the time. I'm like, she can lay down the law too, but like she just like She loves and she loves hard and she's just so loyal. And, but I feel like I could say that about a few people, like a lot of people in the house.
What is your love language, Sierra?
My love language is definitely, okay. So I read the book and like, they say you can really truly only pick one, but it's so hard. Probably the forerunner is like quality time.
And yeah. Like
words of affirmation.
Heck yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah.
I mean, the other stuff all falls into place if you get quality time. I think that that is a good umbrella one.
Yeah. You know, what's yours?
I don't know, but I just like men are so ridiculous, and it's all like physical touch. We're like
every
time. We know you like sex. We get it.
Yeah.
You know.
They do. And I'm like, honestly, I start asking guys, I'm like, okay, name one that's not physical touch.
Yeah, we already know.
They probably don't even know the other ones. They're like, physical touch.
Yeah, mine's gift giving, actually. Like, I love, like, the little things, like a wildflower or just, like, anything small. Like, I stole the pen from the bank for you. You know, like, I want someone to be thinking of me always.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're all of them, but, like, yeah.
Is your love language what you like to receive or what you like to give?
What I like to receive. What I give is usually, like, I do give quality time, and I give gifts, and I not always, like, a words of affirmation. That does take me a little bit, like, more to, we definitely need to be, like, more closer, like,
yeah,
dating for me to give you, like, consistent, like, words of affirmation.
What about you?
I think I give acts of service.
Okay.
And, like, I'll want to cook a meal, or I'll want to go do something and, like, show you, like, hey, I care about you.
You do that with friendships too. I think you can go into, like, you know, friendships and female friendships. What do you think about
that? Yeah. So did you think you, like, would have this drama with Luke when you entered the house?
So I just back to the nitty gritty.
Well, I'm curious because I love how you stood your ground, because in college, all my friends, not all my friends, but a lot of my friends were male. And if they had been like, I'm sorry, Sonia, like, I would have easily given in and not really stand in my ground if they actually hurt me or, like, made me question our friendship. Right. And so whenever I saw that on the show, I'm like, she's so strong to be able to, like, really stay to what she thinks and, like, allow him to say, I'm sorry, but still, like, you know, keep him at an arm's length.
Yeah. I feel like, which is not always the greatest quality that I have. I am good at the silent treatment, and it is something that I'm working on. And like, for me, like, me and Luke not, like, interacting, I didn't expect for us to, like, have this, like, rift that we went into, that happened over the summer. But, like, going into it, I was like, it was a lot for us to be living together. So I really needed time to, like, kind of wrap my head around my own thoughts and figure out, like, how to approach this friendship, because we were friends, and how to, like, where do we go from here? And, like, it was awkward. It was just kind of weird.
So awkward.
But I knew, I was like, we definitely need to remain friends. It doesn't mean that I don't like you. It just means that I don't think that we're fit to be a couple or anything more than that, just based on, like, our history and then the events that unfolded in the house. So, I mean, like, once I've kind of been burned, it's like, I can forgive you, but, like, we will not, I will try not to give you the opportunity to, like, burn me again.
Yeah. And
I just,
that makes sense though, because you're putting up, you're protecting yourself.
Yeah, I did put up a wall, but it's also like, I'm not playing this back and forth game. Yeah. Like, in order for me to get what I need out of a relationship, I can't play this back and forth game. And I'm like, I just feel like,
what did you think in your head when he texted you after 9 o'clock?
I mean, he laughed at the idea of the boundary initially. So I was like, you know, he doesn't give a shit. But I was like, we're friends, and that's what I'm asking of you. Why wouldn't you just do it? Like, it doesn't matter how stupid you think it is, because it could be crazy. And it's not like I have this boundary for everyone or every guy that I meet. It was literally like, this is what we need to do. This is what I need from you at the moment. And, like, just respect that. It's not going to always be that way. Yes, we've talked after 9 in the past, but, like, I'm not talking about the past or even the future. I'm literally talking about right now.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the biggest thing that you showcased on the show is you were yourself. I think I wish we saw more of you. Hello, Bravo. Get with the program. And then the female friendships and how you were there for people, and even the men, you were, like, supportive to Carl and everything. And I just think, the do you find that the value in like being a woman in the female friendships is so important, like in your real life too and off the show? Are you a girl's girl, or how would you describe yourself?
I will say, like, because me and Amanda and Paige and Hannah all talk about this, like, we're like, I was like, I don't really think I'm a girl's girl, because for a long time, like, I did have a hard time getting along with females. And then, like, but once I entered the field of nursing, I feel like I was almost always surrounded by females. So I feel like that's really helped my progression of, like, female friendships. But I, like, need my female friends.
Yeah.
Like, my guy friends, but, like, I need my female friends. And I keep a really tight circle of, like, quality friendships. Like, there's not a lot, but there are some, like, quality friendships that if I was in an insane situation, I know that I could call any one of them and literally they would be there for me, even throughout this whole filming craziness and, like, post filming. You know, like, my female friendships have been, like, the ones that I've leaned on the most.
Yeah, we definitely, like, especially even after 2020, there have been friends that just dropped off naturally because there's more space. But yeah. I'm all for
four quarters
$100. But listen, if you have four solid friends instead of 100 flaky friends just to fill, like, your 20th birthday party at a club, right. I'm over that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and we're a lot older than you.
Yeah, we're older.
But it's nice. Like, we have friends, like, from LA. We're like, we've known her 11 years. Mm-hmm. And, like, when you go back and you think about it, it's like, she's going to be in my life forever.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing that you get to grow and develop and change with your best friends.
Yeah. And then, like, I love that. And we always, my best friend, Jackie, like, we've known each other for maybe, like, 5, maybe 7 years now. But, like, we ride the
wave. In the room? Is she in the corner?
Yeah. Is Jackie there? Is that an image of Jackie behind you?
No, she's not here. She did call me, though. She's the one who called me. But, like, we ride the waves of our friendship, and we're always like, remember when we were feeling this way, and we were like, it's going to pass, and then we have our highs, and we're like, remember when we were, like, feeling like this, and I was like, I just, like, we've literally gone through so many, like, life changes, like, throughout our 20s, and, like, we still have, like, years to go, but I'm like, I honestly just can't wait to be, like, giving our kids advice, you know, when we're moms and, like, we didn't have our looking back when we didn't have our shit together, you know. So it's like those friendships that I, like, hold so near and dear to my heart.
Definitely. Well, we always pull a card with one of our guests. We have 64 affirmations, so I'm gonna pull a card for you.
Okay.
And then you do the prompt.
Okay.
Do you use mantras or I am statements or anything to pump yourself up, like before a workout, before a show?
No, I don't actually. I call Jackie.
Nah.
She's like, you are the prize at the end of the day. Honestly, like when we kind of do that for each other. So
I love that.
I pulled the Jackie card. It says, call Jackie now. No, really, though. This is what it really says. It says, I am gentle with myself. Wrap your arms around yourself and give yourself a hug for 10 seconds. And repeat this until you feel more connected with yourself. So I feel like this is a really good tool for even, like, before we got on here, you were running around, you just got off a flight. To feel grounded and centered, it's important to give yourself that hug that, especially during COVID, like, you don't get done with everybody right now.
Yeah. And, like, it's okay. You've done a lot, and, like, just come back to yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. I love that. Come back to yourself.
Yeah.
It's the last beautiful question coming from Sonia.
We ask everyone, what makes you feel the most alive?
What makes me feel the most alive? Like, connecting with people, probably connecting with different people from, like, all different backgrounds and everything. Yeah. Just, like, meeting new people, connecting with them, getting to know someone on more than the superficial level. Like, I love to know weird things about you, what you did when you were 10, like your relationships with your parents or your siblings, like something that can, like, make you closer to that one person.
Yeah. That's a great answer. That is so good. Thank you, Sierra.
Yes, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, you rock.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Thanks to our guest. For more information on her, see the show notes.
Please hit subscribe if you have not already. That way, a new episode is delivered directly to your feed every week.